Deep in my heart there is a sigh, a longing, Lord, for Thee, to know the depths that in Thee lie, the grace of Calvary. O grant that I might understand Thy glorious mystery, more of Thyself, and by Thy hand obedience stir in me. That is our call to worship, and may that be the desire of our hearts. As we sing number 249, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Proclaiming peace, announcing news of happiness, our God reigns. Well sung, and the group that was well played, and what a great thing to know that God reigns. Let's have a word of prayer. Indeed, O God, we thank you that it is you who sits upon the throne of the universe, and we can say that our God reigns. It is not the devil, it is not any demon but it is the one and true God. It doesn't matter what is happening on this earth. We think of even in our own little country here, how 8 leaders of the world's most powerful nations are meeting in County Fermanagh this week. And we thank you that they don't reign. It is our God reigns. And we thank you that you're the sovereign God over all the affairs that are conducted by men and women on this earth. We thank you, O God, that you know the end from the beginning, that you're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we thank you that we don't need to be sitting, biting our fingernails, wonder what's going to happen next. We thank you that you know what is going to happen next, that you hold all things in your hand, that you control all things, and all things work together for good to those who love God. You work all things according to your own purposes and to your own will for the furtherance of your kingdom. And so, God, we thank you for the great assurance, for the great confidence that we can have in you. And, oh God, we thank you that Christianity is so different from all the other world's religions. How the other world religions is man seeking a God. But we thank you that the Christian faith is God seeking man. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank you that the other world's religions is man seeking to create some God within their imagination. But we thank you, O God, that you have revealed yourself in your word and throughout nature and the universe, where we can see the creating hand of God. All the other world's religions is man seeking to love and to have a devotion towards their God or gods. But we thank you that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you that the Christian faith is the only one that tells of God giving his Son to die such a cruel death, and who rose again, and who ascended to heaven, and who ever lives to make intercession for his people. So we thank you for the uniqueness of the gospel this morning. And we do pray that you'll bless our service, and those who have gathered in, and those who listen in via the internet. We pray that you'll bless each one. And if they have not yet come to know the Christ of the gospel, may they come to do so. So bless your word to your hearts. Thank you for our dear brother G.S. with us this morning, and for his ministry in India, through People's Baptist Ministries, for all the churches throughout India, for all the students that have just graduated, for those who will continue their studies. Bless them each one, and in their spheres of service for you. So be with us now, Lord, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And it is indeed a delight to welcome back to our church this morning Pastor G.S. Nair. And G.S. was meant to be with us last September, and he was in the country here, but his mother died and he had to return home. And so he came back this month to cover those services that he wasn't able to do so. Indeed, it was a joy to cover a few for you myself, along with my presentation, and it was lovely to do that. And I've welcomed him to the church for years, both on Tuesday nights and on Sundays, but now that he's here the first time since I have been there last year, I look upon him differently, because I saw how he works. And I have been in his environment and in the setup there in India. And so it is a joy to have him back again here. and hopefully someday to return to India. And I know that there are some in the church who would like to go out as well, and we'll see about that. But G.S. wants me to read from Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27, just this short account of Matthew's, and the happening on the Sea of Galilee, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Amen. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts. And we're going to stand and sing our next piece that's on the screen here, "The Call of the Kingdom." Lift your eyes to the King, let his song rise within you as a fragrant offering. At the end of the service, G.S. has brought a book, very well produced, The 33rd Graduation of People's Baptist Bible College and Seminary. So I will leave that on the vestibule table there, and you can have a look through the lovely photographs there. I have last year's at home, the 32nd, and that's a very precious thing to me. So I leave this at the table at the end of the service, and you can have a look through that. A very warm welcome then to church this morning, and the Lord bless us all indeed. And we look forward to what GS has to show us. He has the laptop and all arranged here, so hopefully we'll see images on the screen about the work there, and then as he ministers God's word. And also we welcome Billy Kennedy as well. Billy's buried down in there somewhere, so it's good to see Billy here. Looking forward to having then Billy and GS back to the manse for Sunday lunch and a further chat. Now, the announcements, of course, are few at this time of a year. Our time of prayer, 10 past 6, before the evening service at 6:30. And on Sunday nights, we've been looking through the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. So hope to finish the Beatitudes tonight. Just take number 8 and 9 together. Some will say that there's only 8. Some will say there's 9. But it's about persecution. Verses 10 to 12 of Matthew chapter 5. Tuesday at 8 o'clock, the prayer meeting and Bible study. And as you know, those who were there a few weeks ago, we started a series on the attributes of God. And so just looking at the being of God, the doctrine of God. And so we hope to continue with that. So next Lord's Day then, our services 11:30 and 6:30 when IDV will bring the word, our time of prayer at 10 past 6. So even though the announcements are few, do seek to come and to enjoy friendship and fellowship, and seek to invite others along as well. I know that at different times now, throughout the remainder of June, July and August, different ones will be going off on holidays at different times. And so may the Lord just refresh us all, and as we continue to look to Him. These are all the announcements, and we'll worship the Lord with our offerings. Thank you. Pray. Father, we come into your presence and we do thank you indeed that even before Jesus came into the world, even before he was born in Bethlehem, it was prophesied by Habakkuk the prophet that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And when Jesus was born and when he died and when he rose again and before he ascended into heaven, he said to the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we thank you this morning for your work that is in every land. We thank you for GS here. We thank you for the work in India. And we praise you for that. And we pray that you'll bless the work there. Thank you that we have a part in supporting that work. And do bless, Lord, the students and the pastors as they have already ministered your word today, because they are 5.5 hours ahead of us or so. We pray that you'll bless them today. And we thank you for the work and witness that our church supports here. Bless the Dublin Christian Mission this summer in all their camps. Bless Coaching for Christ and the outreach there. Bless CEF. Bless the work of the Gideons, the work of the Faith Mission. Do bless each and every one in all their fields of service for you. We pray, Lord, for our own church here and for those that will be involved in your work over the summer. Bless those who are ill belonging to your church, Lord. Draw near unto them today. Those with different burdens and problems, draw near unto them. We thank you that no matter what troubles us, that Christ is the answer to our every need. When we just come to him and just leave our burdens with him. And we know that the burdens mightn't be removed, but we thank you that you will give strength and grace to help us through them. So bless, Lord, we pray. And we pray for this week and this G8 conference and everything that's going on there, all the security, thousands of people just involved in all of this, and we just pray that you will just draw near, Lord. And at the end of the day, we cannot look to man. We are told in your word to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. We are told that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, in those in a position of leadership and authority. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. And whatever decisions these people make for the betterment of our planet, yet, O God, we are to see beyond man, and we are to look to you, the God who is still on the throne and who remembers his own. And so, Lord, bless, we pray. So draw near now and bless the ministry of your servant. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. And before GS comes to speak, number 744, we have a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and sweetness, a story of peace and light.
Oh, I'm so thankful that God has given another opportunity to come back, to be with you, to have fellowship, and sharing what the Lord is doing back in home, and to bring a little bit information as you are praying and supporting this ministry. It will give a little bit more understanding and depth knowledge that you'll be able to pray for more carefully. I really enjoyed when your pastor came our way, and Brother Raymond, and his ministry was so great. We had several speakers in that time, but your ministry was one of the one God used, and people been saved, and Lord really worked through his messages, and it was a great time, and I really enjoyed the fellowship with Pastor Raymond, and we look forward him and a few others come back again to minister to us. We thank God for that. India is in a challenging mission field, and so you know that it is over 1.31 billion people with Hindus as well as Islamic, supposed to be the second largest Islamic population in the world. Then we also got Sikhism, Jainism, Buddhism, and Christians, including kind of all sorts of Christians, but very few of them are born again. As you know that we start our ministry very southern tip of India here, and then now we spread across India out of 29 out of 30 states in India. Our ministry spread and work with nearly around 1,985 pastors, and we also got ministry of the Bible College, and as well as the training center across India, Nepal, and Myanmar here, so that we've been able to establish local Bible-believing churches for the glory of God. And you know, around 590 students in all of our three Bible colleges, and we also got 310 students in our extension school. And since 1976, we have 1,900 plus people working across India, Nepal, and Myanmar. When we start this ministry, it is just a kind of very few people, four people. Then I got married, and my wife started working with us, so that now we have over 1,900 people, 85 people working across India. It's all we training more nationals so that they'll be able to just go on serving the Lord Jesus Christ. India, with all lot of religious side, Hindus and Islamic and all lot of people. Supposed to be, when I was a Hindu in Trivandrum, I used to go to this temple to worship their god and goddesses. Now, temple to now, testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank God for that. And it's in a kind of area you'll see a lot of Islamic as well as Sikh religious groups. And but thank God that we've been able to reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to these people. This is the hospital where I got saved in 1972. After 40 years, I took my wife last year there. This hospital is not functioning now. They had only general hospital there. After 18 months in the hospital, God saved me. Then I was joined in this church. It established 1945, before I was born. A missionary came and started a small church. From there, we've been able to just go and start our own church in Trivandrum, People's Baptist. And this is our church. We have two services. And it's people been saved. And add nearly around 22 people this year to our church. And it's in a church growing and need much prayers so that we'll be able to just go on spreading the gospel across India. I was here last year, September. After 3 days, I got a call from my home saying that my mother went to be with the Lord. When I got saved, my parents kicked me off of the family. I could not go back to my home. My parents did not allow me to get into their home, but I could pray for them. 16 years later, both my father and mother got saved. And after they got saved, they start coming to our church. My mother did not do any great work, but she lived consistently for the Lord. So she was called to home. Just prior to that, she told that she need to be buried in our family property. And I was so a little bit scary, because around 5 to 7 mile areas, just only Hindus, not a Christian. But it was her desire, so I talked to my father, but finally we worked out. When I took the body there after that, and there were over 700 people from the community came, and so I could not bypass without giving gospel. So I've been able to just give the gospel to all that 700 Hindus who gathered there, and thank God that many of them showed interest that they like to hear the gospel again, and thank God that we've been able to see these people growing. Our church began to grow, and this is our second service in our congregations. That's also moving, and we've been able to baptize people. Before we baptism, we give at least around 6 to 7 months, we teach the word of God. When the baptism, people come to know they are Christians, and that's the time they get persecutions. So we ground them in the word of God before we just baptize people. And thank God that the church has been able to grow. Nearly 22 plus people added to this church this year alone. And this church is on growing and need much prayer. Then people, those who go to serve the Lord after education, they go to the field. And from there, after 2 to 3 years of time, their work, we've been able to see the Lord is working tremendously in their life. Then we bring them and commissioned and sending back to their ministry. And this is the time we had this ordination service there in our church. In 1980, we started a small Bible Institute. As you know that, until 1985, we were running in a rented building. 86, God has given 1/3 of an acre. We put in such a small building. Of course, Brother Raymond saw that. We kept in the college. It is 10 times bigger than that, fully air-conditioned, because half wall, air comes and goes. And then from there, we've been able to build more church, more college buildings in order to train more people. The Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have girls' dormitory. Then afterwards, we've been able to build more buildings in the Bible College campus. And this is the campus look like, nearly around 18 to 20 acres land. We have 333 students last year, and the college is growing, and God really blessed and led us, and this is the current auditorium and facilities, and Pastor Raymond preached over there, and we've been able to see that people have been just coming and getting saved. Our students' body began to grow. And that's tremendously, we are now working with 38 different language speaking people. We teach them, train them, discipling them, and sending to the field. This is my daughter who just working with the ministry, Debbie, and she teach English as well as Christian education, and she also work in the office, and along with the children's ministry. We graduated 80 students this year from our Trivandrum College. We also got 70 students graduate from our central part of India, and so they've been able to go and serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank God for these men, those who are going to the field in order to reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our teams, our college girls and boys are fully equipped for church ministries in music and children's ministry, as well as reaching with people, women's ministries, and school ministry. So they are involved in such a ministry for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also send out students' team. This year we send out 22 different teams from Trivandrum, 8 teams from Punjab, and they are traveling and preaching the word of God. They've been able to reach out thousands of students for the glory of God. This is one of the picture last year I took. Raymond was with us. He's traveled with one of the gospel team to Chennai, and he's able to preach a few churches there. And thank God, and God really just work in that outreach ministries there. And pray for these people as they are growing. These men, those been graduate from our Bible college and reaching out, planting churches across India for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And need to continually pray for them. And that the Lord may use these people for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of the meetings in local church in Chennai. And thank God that God being able to save these people and establishing churches across India. It's one of the church in Bangalore, and a lot of persecution in Karnataka state, but in the midst of that, we've been able to reach out and winning souls for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a pastor upping, Caroline and his child. He's working in Burma, and he, under his leadership, around 28 men working in Burma, and an extension school and a children's home. Thank God his ministry is growing, and God is working continually through their lives. And I was there for last year. We had a tremendous meeting, and people have been saved, added to different local churches there. And this, some of the Burmese meetings, and they are very interested for the ministry. And I'm so thankful that the ministry is growing there. And these are the one of the camp. In Chennai, we have a children's home there. We have an extension Bible school there, as well as an educational center. And Pastor Raymond was with me when last time when he was there. This is Debbie Johnson and Jabez Jonathan. Our ministry began to grow, so we need somebody to look after our children's ministry. So Debbie and Johnson, and they've been able to serve in the children's ministry. And we have 19 children's home with 455 children. Most of these children don't have parents, 97%. And do kindly pray for them. And this is the one of the children's ministry in Chennai. They like apple, but I am not that much. So they come around me and eating with me. And this is a tsunami home. We have 54 children there. All that 54 children came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. And so thankful that God saved these people. And Pastor Raymond visited there. We have several courts. We need more courts there, beds. That's what Billy said. Don't say carts, beds anyway. We need more beds there. I appreciate your prayers for that. And this is Blessy and Gifty. Gifty is just graduated from high school. She lost her parents in tsunami time, and she graduated with the honor 97% mark. And I talked to her. She said she want to serve the Lord as a nurse. So we are praying to send her to be a nursing training, and need to pray for her, Gifty. And Karnataka Children's Home, and with Pastor Rajan, and this is also growing greatly. And do pray for this children's home as the Lord continually bless them and use them for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This home in Punjab, and northwestern part of India, they are living in a rented building. We are planning to build in a new building for them. I appreciate your thoughtful prayers for that. Need more furniture for these children. They need chairs and desks and with the minimum facilities. And this Manish and Jagadish, they were from Sikh families, but they came to know Christ through our Sunday school ministry. Then we came to know they don't have any parents. We brought them to our children's home. And Ambala Children's Home need a lot of furniture and beds there, need prayer. And all the children need uniforms. And every children need uniforms. So 2 pairs uniform, a sandal, and a shoes cost £14 in a year. This is a Nepal ministry, and God really blessed the ministry in Nepal. We send out several teams this year. 3,500 people came to know Christ there. They've been able to organize Bible studies and gospel meetings, and preaching the word of God. And thank God they've been able to just go and visit homes and individually. And 3,500 people came to know Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. This is the property which we look to buy for our Punjab ministry, around 8 acres land, one of the crucial need for our ministry in Punjab. Need your prayers. This is all just establishing local Bible-believing churches for the glory of God. So need to pray the Lord may help these churches to grow for His great glory. Some of the meetings, we got packed people, and people been saved. And this year, out of special meetings in different parts of India, many, many thousand people came to know Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. This man pastoring a church in Tamil Nadu, greatly blessed there. And the church is growing. All these men in different parts of India went to extension school, now serving the Lord for His glory. Our second Bible college, do pray for this property that we might be able to get it, so that we have 60 students, Lord willing, this year. And we have baptism service. Over 17,000 plus people been baptized until around 8 months' time, but last 8 months' time. There are so many there. Some of the village church, remote area, but you go to church, you'll be able to see that church is packed with people. And people have been coming to know Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. And this all this ministry, establishing local Bible-believing churches for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Church in Punjab, church in Kashmir. The man in center, he's in a Hindu man, and the right side one is an Islamic fellow. The left side one is in another Sindhi religion. They got saved, went to our extension Bible school, and now serving the Lord. Church in Kashmir, which is northern part of India, and need to pray for them. A lot of persecution. Church in Himachal Pradesh is growing. And we also got some ministry among the leprosy rehabilitation center in feeding the spiritual food. There are 30 people gathering in this church. There's another leprosy rehabilitation center in central part of India. That has got nearly 35 families come over there. We give the spiritual food, then the physical need. Your brother Sikha, I was there for 2 weeks back, tremendously he working in that area. There are 35 people from rehabilitation center there. When I was there, it was nearly 48 degrees hot. And I went to visit them. There are small rooms they are staying. They are rehabilitated by government, but no fan. So I could not go without giving some fan for them and try to help them with the transportation. 35 families and serving there, and tremendous ministry growing. Pastor Saji John, he went in a mountainous area to start a church. Thank God now the church is growing. And he not only just staying there, but he's also starting another ministry nearby. And thank God his ministry started like this. He and his wife start going morning, take their bike and go visit. Now we have a second Bible study start with the last 3.5 years, and second church planting for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been able to build a new church building for them, and people have been gathered for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and dedication of this building. So the ministry is growing continuously. Pray that the Lord may continue to bless us for His glory. Thank you. Well, it's an ongoing ministry. So all this started with one medical missionary coming to India, giving gospel faithfully, and helping us, and giving gospel without giving me up, 18 months in the hospital. Then government asked him to move him from our country. Thank God he has gone, but still the ministry is growing. Do pray for this, all this ministry might be able to grow well, so that Christ in His name may be magnified and exalted. I'm so thankful for the part you are playing behind our ministry. All these things happening, it's because of God's people like you praying and standing behind the ministry. Our aim is to build up these colleges, train at least 1,000 students every year, reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because India is a fast-growing church, fast-growing country, nearly around 1.5 billion people will overtake China year 2015. So need to pray for them. As we just read the passage, I'd like to just bring some thoughts to you today, and that the Lord may just speak to you and speak to me, that the Lord may help us. The storms of life. Sometimes when we think about storm, many times people think it's because God's punishment coming upon us, as God's judging. But in a different way that we can just see as we read and study and meditate this passage. Storms comes to your life and my life. First of all, when we think about storms are inevitable. If you did not have any storm so far in your life, praise God. But don't be too excited, sometimes can come to your life and my life. But thank God, from this passage, I'd like to just draw some lessons and principles which we can apply to our own life. Sometimes storms come to discipline. Other time, for devotion to Him, to get to know Him more and more. But this comes to our life. Problems and struggles and sickness, unexpected events come to Christians, believers like you and me. Sometimes we wonder why. But it comes sometimes for discipline, sometimes for devotion. Sometimes storms come when we are following Him. I got a fellow in south of Trivandrum. He came to know Jesus Christ when he was a 19-year-old boy. Graduate from the school, went to college. Some of his neighbors says, don't go to the church. He said, no, Jesus saved me. I am going to go to the church. The third week, he was disappeared. And later, a couple of weeks later, found his body in a well. Cost life sometimes. Sometimes we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, storms can come. As this passage we over here see that, verse 23, and when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. They were not outside of God's will, they were in the plan of God, in the program of God, they were following the Lord when they were facing this storm. Sometimes storms come to your life and my life as we are following the Lord Jesus Christ. Storms of persecution, storms of problems, storms of criticization from other people. So many things can come. I know of people being abandoned from the family because they trust the Lord. Here these people, they were not outside of God's will. They were not just going and crossing that lake on their own. But the word of God says, his disciples followed him. Disciples followed him. It is inevitable. It comes, and it sometimes comes, it's following him. Sometimes storms are a test of faith. As these people, as they were just crossing the sea, the Lord went into sleep. Maybe that's the only one time in his life when he was in the earth. Bible mentioned he was sleeping. He's a full man, 100% man, and he 100% God. He's sleeping. Maybe they let even the hell lose it. Maybe the devil was just want to grip him and swallow by the water. But he is the one who created the sea. So the tempest came. This all these experienced fishermen, those who are his disciples, they might be trying to just somehow to get over the storm, but they could not. They knew it was an unusual storm happened to their life. They were trying. But see, and they knew they cannot face the storm, and they need to that someone to help him, and Jesus Christ is the only person who can help them. And so they were 25, and his disciple came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. The storm was so powerful, spontaneously came, even the disciples afraid. Mind you that most of these disciples were fishers of men. They could not handle it. They came to the Savior, say, Lord, save us. Wake him up. Then the Lord got up and he's saying, verse 26, and he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Many times, storms he allowed in our life to build up our life in the Lord Jesus Christ, in faith, a test of faith. I remember, as I was reading the book of Exodus, when God brought out the children of Israel, leading to the promised land, as they were led by the cloud of pillar and pillar of fire, went before them, and they were following that. From Egypt, they were going to the promised land as the Lord was leading them to the Red Sea. And Lord knew there was Red Sea. These people never went that way. Before these people come, God could divide the Red Sea. But as the people came near the Red Sea, then they turned back, looked back, there was Pharaoh's army coming. And God indeed could just open the Red Sea before these people arrived. But as they arrived there, instead of looking unto God, having faith in him, they began to murmur and complaining and turning against Moses, ultimately turn against God. Then Moses cried unto God, and God opened the Red Sea. I often think about why God did not open the Red Sea before these people come. God could have done it. But sometimes storms like that comes to your life and my life, a test of faith. God expects us to grow in Christ, not only getting saved and living in the Lord, but God expects us to grow in faith, to get to know him more and more. God allowed the storms to be building up our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Oh no, these people tried, but they could not save themselves. How often we think about the problems, struggles, and trials come to our life. Sometimes we began to think about, is the Lord, is there to help me? And what happened? Sometimes storms are a test of faith. As we read over here, thank God, Jesus was with them. In any storms, Jesus go with us through the storm. That's one of the great things in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am from a religious background, a false religion. There are so many religious people in this world, but let me tell you, Jesus Christ is the only one person promised that, "Lo, I am with you always." No matter what comes to your life and my life, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He goes through us with the storm. And Jesus is there to help us. Then as we read over here in the word of God says, verse 27, "But the man marveled, saying, what manner of this man is that, that the wind and the sea obey him?" Because Jesus Christ, he arose and rebuked the winds. And we learn another lesson. Jesus can handle the storm. There is not a single storm you face today which the Lord cannot handle it. He can handle the storm. How often we are so fearful, doubt in our life, is the Lord is going to help me. Unexpected problems comes and sickness comes and the trials comes, difficulties comes in Christian life. We often marvel, where is the Lord? Not only Jesus Christ go with us through the storm, he can handle the storms. Only we have to ask him. These disciples tried in their level best somehow to overcome the storm. Then they came to the Savior. They knew they cannot handle the things. They can ask the Lord to do it. Only thing is that we need to ask him. We need to ask him. No matter what problem, what storm you are facing in your life, God expects us to ask him. Sometimes people think prayer is born out of the misery of human being. It is not so. Prayer is born from heaven. God expects us to call him. "Call unto me the day of trouble," the Lord says. "Ask and it shall be given unto thee. Knock and it shall be opened." God expects us to pray through Jesus' name. And God is able to answer and meet with our storms. Only we need to ask him. And finally, let me tell you, if you find yourself in a storm today, maybe you are presently, you find yourself in the storm, let me tell you by the word of God, don't be afraid. He can handle it. Need to ask. Maybe someone over here in the storms of sin. You do not know. Suppose this might be the last day of your life. Suppose you go from this world, will you go to be with the Savior? If you do not know, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God He came to seek and save which was lost. A great Savior. I know when we are ministering back in home, we are conscious of people dying with their sin and going to eternal punishment. That's a very urgency make us to reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe someone over here in the church, coming all through your life to the church, but not having Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Storms of sin and guilt and peacelessness and happiness may be ruining the life, but let me tell you, Jesus can take away that storm, calm that storm by coming to your heart. Only you need to ask Him. Because Jesus Christ is the only person who died for your sin and my sin. He's the only one conquered death and demons ever living today. Because He lives, if you call upon Him, He shall come to my heart and your heart and save you. In 1972, June 9th, as a dying tuberculosis patient, as an army officer in a hospital, asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come to my heart. And it saved me. We used to believe 333 million God and goddesses never did anything for my sin. Only Jesus did. He's the only one shed His blood for my sin. He's the only one took my sin upon His body. He's the only one conquered death ever living today. He's the only one can save people. And you and I need to ask Him. Maybe someone over here, no matter who you are, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you are a lost person sitting in a Bible preaching church. Will you ask Him to come to your hearts? Maybe as believers, storms are inevitable. Trials and troubles come. Sometimes we are doing everything right, following Him. Still storms come. Thank God, sometimes storms build up our faith, the test of faith. And Jesus assures He will go with us through the storm. And He can handle the storms. And thank God, He is there to help us. Maybe you are fine in a storm today. He can help you. Don't be afraid. Christ is able to help you. Maybe someone not saved, will you ask Him today? Ask Him to come to your heart and save you. And Jesus will save you, Pastor.
Thank you, GS, for that lovely presentation. Some photographs there I hadn't seen. And also for the word, the storms of life. And we all face those storms. But we have one to accompany us in those storms, and they're for a purpose. We'll stand and sing number 178, and then GS will come down to the door. So have a word with him and have a look on the vegetable table at this year's graduation there. 178, go forth and tell, O Church of God, awake, God's saving news to all the nations, take. now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.